Greetings in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Blessed evening to all of you. I thank God that the reading, supposedly the text that is assigned to me is from 2 to 6. Pardon me if I include it up to 10. This is not to lengthen our message this evening, but just to give more understanding on the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in our lives, there are those who call us, some strangers maybe, or some acquaintance or friends that we may be able to just not bothered to respond. You can just overlook and not listen to them and will not care of their call. But there are calls also that are really that we want to respond immediately, like the call of our parents. I hope you respond and you listen and you turn your attention to them, or your teachers, or some of your leaders in the church, deacons, elders, your pastor. If they will call you, then it is expected that you be reverent enough to say yes, or whatever request that they will ask from you, that you will immediately attend to that task that they want. And that's what we, as under them, as those who are in the church, we want to show our respect to these elders or to these leaders. There are also calls that we really cannot say no, especially for you boys here in Singapore. You have the national service, and if you are called, you must. There is no point where you can say no. They can maybe delay, but you have to. And that is the call that you must respond. Call of duty in the time of war, in time of emergency, you have to respond. But all of us who are here responded to a call, I expect. There is a call that is more important and of great importance than the call of friends, call of our leaders, the call of our nation. And that is the call of God. And I believe all of us who are here claim to have that call. When we see ourselves, we consider ourselves as believers, as Christians, as those who have responded to the call of God to know Him, to believe in Him, to trust in Him. And that is the call of salvation. And that call is a call towards Him. It is leaving the world, it is leaving the darkness, it is leaving the sinful life unto Christ, unto God. And it's a blessed call, a call that most of us must consider, I believe, as a very wonderful, amazing call. And that's the call that we have experienced when the Lord Jesus Christ opened our eyes, caused us to see that indeed we are on our way to condemnation and hell. And then He points us to a life, a path towards His kingdom in heaven. That's an amazing call, a call that is truly wonderful when God showed us what it means to live a life that is following the Lord Jesus Christ. And that can only be possible when we believe and trust in Him. Now, along this call of salvation, you have to understand that you are not just called to be saved and called to be Christian and called to be in the church and called to be in the fellowship. As young people, you have to understand that it is with the call of service. And that is not to mean that you have to do heavier or greater things in the church. It is according to what He has assigned for us. There are things like Just a while ago, this young boy put this microphone here or recorder. It's a good way of serving. It's a sign where we show ourselves to labor for the Lord. It may be a light thing, it may be insignificant by others, but that is great and good and wonderful in the eyes of God when we are serving a great and a wonderful God. So together with the call of salvation, there is a call for service. But God has a special call also. And this is given, this is done, this is granted by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the one that is shown here by the scripture to have called people unto special service in some special work that needs special dedication also in the work. And the Lord Jesus Christ did that not only in the New Testament when we know how he called his apostles. We remember that. How he called the fishermen, come, follow me. Peter and Andrew, John and James, and later Levi, who is called Matthew, followed him, and the rest of the apostles. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, called them to the ministry. But this calling was not just in the New Testament. He was the one who called many of those who, or in fact all of those who served the Lord in the Old Testament. The God, the Christ that we have, the Messiah that we know in the New Testament, is the same God, Christ, the angel of the Lord that called people to service even in the Old Testament. And it's a great thing to understand that indeed this God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is calling people to serve in the New Testament, is the same God who has called the saints in the past, whom we sometimes see as people of great faith. I mean, you can imagine how Abraham, how Moses, and if you read Hebrews chapter 11, you will see the greatness of their faith, how they were able to fulfill the task given to them in the challenging times, in times that they were facing difficult circumstances in life. Yet they were able to do that. Of course, God was there to help them. The battle was of the Lord. The Lord was with them in every time that they faced these challenges. But we have to know that it was the Lord Jesus Christ who called them. That's why when we as Christians today understand that we are called to salvation, and then we are called also along with this call to salvation, we are called to serve, we have to do all things in what we find to do it with all our might, that's what Solomon says, and to do it all for the Lord. And that's what we are going to see now in this special call that the angel of the Lord showed to Moses. And I pray that through this call of God, we can see also how we today is given this call. And maybe we expect a call also that we should not take lightly the call of Christ. And to say, just like Moses says here, behold, here am I. That's what the prophets also said in later times, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and the rest of the prophets. We have to understand who is this Christ who calls, and the Christ who assigned us a task, and this task that he has assigned us, that we must do. Of course, we are able to do it with his presence, with his strength. Now, the background of this call was that Moses was already in the wilderness, here in the near the mountain Horeb. This is the same as the other side of Mount Sinai. And he was in the wilderness of Sinai. Now this happened because the first 40 years of his life, he was in the royal, shall we say, palace or place of Pharaoh, a special child adopted by the princess, the daughter of Pharaoh. And then he, who knew that he was an Israelite, attempted or gave himself to do something in his own time, in his own way, in his own design. But of course, when God sees this, and he knew that it is by man's strength and by man's might and by man's mind, he will not allow things to happen to succeed, because if it happens, then it would just be a glory or something that would puff up the person, would just cause him to boast and to think that he was the one responsible for this. So after that, he was found out that he had killed an Egyptian. And so he ran away and found a place, a refuge in this wilderness. And imagine, for 40 years, he was also in this wilderness. He might have erased that thought that I have a responsibility over my own people. He might have thought that, I'm not anymore part of them. I don't have any role. I don't have any charge by God to fulfill, to do something for my own. He was busy in keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. But you know, when God calls, it is in his own way. It is in his own sovereign way. And it is in his own timing. It is in his own means. And so we have in this passage a special call by God to Moses. And with this call, he has shown a great sight. This is what we should see. Every call is a great call. And there is this grand invitation for him to appear before the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And then he has this privilege to perform or to fulfill this gigantic task assigned to him, and that is to deliver, to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt, to bring them into the promised land. So when we are saved, we are called to serve. But there are also special calls for some of us, tasks that we have to fulfill. And when we have that, we should not turn away, and we should not find some alibi or whatever ways so that we can escape the call of God. Now let us look at this call, and let us pray that we will see the Christ who calls Moses, and this angel of the Lord that appeared unto him is really the God, the Jehovah God of Israel, and that when he calls, he has this special design for Moses to come to approach him. And with this response, we know that God also has his commission, a task for him to fulfill. When God calls, he's not just calling us to a vacation, a holiday. He's not calling somebody to just respond to his call and then do something for his own. God calls to serve, that we might serve him. So the first thing that we have here is God's sovereign call, where there is this great sight done or made to show himself to appear before Moses. You notice here in verse 2, and the angel of the Lord. Now he was introduced as the angel of the Lord. The word angel is messenger. He appeared unto him in a flame of fire. Now he was not in a human form as he did in his appearance before Abraham. He was in a flame of fire. Now, why did the Lord Jesus Christ, as we will understand later that he is indeed this angel of the Lord, appeared in a flame of fire? Now, there are many instances in the scripture that he is described to be a consuming fire. God is our consuming fire. There are many scriptures that identifies him with fire. And with this, we see that God showed to him, and in fact, the flame of fire on the mountains or in the wilderness was a common sight, as it is claimed. So it was not something that would cause Moses to just wonder, because as it is observed, there are some flickers of fire. It is in the wilderness, it is in the desert, it is so hot, and sometimes with this dry pieces of leaves and plants, sometimes it will just catch some fire in lightning, and it will cause some kind of fire. Just what we also hear of some forest fires, right? In Australia, in Los Angeles, in California, and others, even in South Korea, these are forest fires. Some are man-made, of course, but this is natural. And so it's not an amazing thing for him to see this. It was an ordinary thing to see this flame of fire. What caught his attention was, he was saying here, "Behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." That's the difference. That causes Moses to think, what is this? I have seen many times some bush that is burned, but it consumed, and later it stopped. But this one, it keeps on having the fire, but the bush was not consumed. This must be something that is different. This is something that is apart from what I've seen before. This is unnatural. And so he was attracted to it. He says his idea of seeing this, he says he's a great sight. Some people want to have a great experience in order to think that they are truly called. I want to have some kind of dream or a vision or some miracles before me so that I really felt that I'm the one appointed by God to do this thing. I'm called by God. We want to have signs that are miraculous. And we want to have like this experience of Moses. Some people wanted to have some kind of important signs, as just what they think of the signs done during the time of Gideon. But this is a sign, a natural sign, yet indeed a sign that attracted him because it was not burning the bush. And so Moses turned aside. He wanted to see, and when the Lord saw, so he turned aside and the Lord saw. God caused him to see, and then he responded to that sign, to that burning bush. He responded to what God showed him. He responded to how God gave him this call. In fact, this is the start of the call, to call his attention. Now, in our lives, there are many calls that we sometimes neglect. Times that we are sick and we pray and God will heal us. Or sometimes that we have some problems and concerns in life, we pray and the Lord answered us. There are things that wonderfully and was done by God, and yet we take it lightly, as if it just happened naturally. But during the time that when we asked of it, we prayed for it, we just don't think that, we really asked God to help us, and then when it happened, we just take it as if it is normal. And so when here Moses saw the bush, he turned aside, and then God called unto him. It was by sign at first, something that is spectacular before his eyes, and then the word. The word. This is something that you should also see or hear the word. It is not just something that you feel. It's not just emotional. It's just something that causes your heart to beat faster or make you feel warmth or zealous or passionate to do it. There must be a word. God, when Christ calls, He gives this call with a word. Just like when He calls Peter and Andrew, and calls John and James, and calls Levi, who is Matthew, calling all the apostles, He was calling them with words. And this is what happened here. When Christ calls, and the Christ who calls is a Christ who gives His word, He says here specifically, Moses. He was not announcing to the crowd. He was not announcing to most people. He was not announcing to anybody who wants to serve, who wants to come, who wants to do this, who wants to be in this committee, who wants to do this work, this task, this evangelism. No, He is not asking for volunteers. He specifically calls you. And how do we know and how do we hear this? Of course, we don't hear the audible voice in your dreams that somebody will call you, your name. It's not this kind of call, but we have specifically in His Word. If we are in His Word always, we will hear this call. We will hear this call. We'll clarify this more later, but let's continue here when He now responds. Here am I. The idea of here am I is, behold, here am I. I'm ready. I'm listening. I want to do what you want me to do. And then the Lord gave us a grand summon. This is a grand invitation to come before the holy presence of God. When you are called by Christ, Christ who is the Son of God in condescension came into this world and calls you and gave you this responsibility, how great it is to come before Him and respond and hear His call. The Lord said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet. It is an holy ground. Now take note, this was wilderness. This was desert. This was something that people don't even want to live. It's only for the animals. Even animals don't want to live in such kind of places. It's so warm, and during the night it's cold. But when God is there, you are, as Moses was told, in a holy ground. And this shows how our holy God come before us in our call. It is a holy call. A call that is not just great in the sight of men, but is holy before God. It is not something that you take lightly. It is the call from God. It's a divine call. That's why when you hear God's call, you read God's call, you have in your reading speaking to you, this is what you have to do, this is where you are to go, you have to understand it is a holy calling. You don't have to brush it off. You don't have to erase it in your mind. You don't have to immerse your life with other things so that you will forget this. It is a holy call. When you come before the holy God to have His call, this is something that you have to listen, you have to attend, you have to understand, you have to pray, you have to ask God. And God introduced Himself. And take note, if you will see from verse 2, the way He is introduced, the angel of the Lord in verse 2, and in verse 4 it is said, the Lord said. Now take note, it is now capital L, capital O, R, D, and this is speaking of the Jehovah God of Israel. So meaning the angel of the Lord is the Lord Himself, and He introduced Himself. Take note in verse 6. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of your fathers. Christ in the Old Testament. Many people would think that, oh, Christ is only in the New Testament. We don't need the God of the Old Testament. He's a cruel God. He's a God who kills babies, kills infants. And we want to have only Jesus Christ of the New Testament as our God, because he's a loving God, a merciful God, a gracious God, compassionate God, a gentle God. He's the same God. The God of the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ of the New Testament, is the same God who called Moses in Exodus chapter 3, and is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And here he is seen as a God who is compassionate, loving, gentle. Imagine a man who had disobeyed him. After 40 years, he went back to, of course he didn't leave him, but it is the idea of coming back to Moses to again tell him, this is the task that I have for you, you have to do it. And what is that task? It is something that is gigantic. It is not an ordinary task. There are people who deny God's call when they are saved, and they said, well, I don't have a call. I'm just called as a Christian. I'm just called to be in the church. I don't have any call. I wait if there is a call from God on what I have to do. Now be careful with that statement, because when God calls you, the moment he will call you, he's not assigning you an ordinary work to do, an ordinary appointment to accomplish. It is gigantic. When there is a work that is given specially for you, a specific call, just like in Moses, it is something that you should take heed and tremble and quake, for that is a great task, a work that is beyond your mind to imagine. Remember here, Moses was assigned here, and he said, you have to deliver them out. How? I purposely asked to read up to 10, because it gives us a clearer understanding of God's call, of Christ's calling, because he calls not just for our joy and enjoyment and pleasure. It is for his own people, and he calls somebody in order to be a part of that work, of that whole plan of God, and becoming part, a member of the task, of the task force to implement it, is a great honor and privilege. Moses was assigned to deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt to bring them into the promised land. And we know how difficult it was. Even in the time when he was to convince Pharaoh, in the time that he has to convince also the people themselves that I am told by God to bring you out, even the people did not believe. And when they were in the wilderness, the people also did not believe that, oh, it was better for us to be in Egypt rather than bringing us into this wilderness. It was a task that was never easy. And some of you would dare to say, I'm not called, I'm waiting for God's call. Well, that would be good. Wait for that. And that call would be something that you have to take heed, to listen, to attend to, and to take action. And when you are called by God, God will do great, marvelous things for you. That's what one of our missionaries, a great missionary, William Carey, he says, we expect great things for God, we attempt great things for the Lord. The call of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will see in this call how great sight he had seen. Today we need not this burning bush. I mean, if God will show to you such, that would be nice, burning tree or whatever. But we need not this. This great sight is now a sight that we can see today easily in this book. Can you imagine, is there a greater sight by faith of a God who became man? That is unimaginable. That is beyond the understanding of man. Even the devil don't want to accept that. He cannot approve that God himself will become man. And that is what we know today. We need not any other sign. The great sight of faith in the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who incarnated and became man, is such a great realization or thing that we have to acknowledge so that we respond to his call. My dear young people, there are still many things that you can do, but the best thing that you can offer your life for is to serve the Lord. And you need not so many wonderful or any miraculous thing to happen. When you are saved and you are given such an experience of salvation, when you acknowledge that there is this life of deadness, that you were a sinner and you were heading for hell, and then you somehow in that condition, situation in life, you realize that, oh, I'm heading for this condemnation, that is a great sign. That is a great sight. You know, no one would, even if you tell people around you about that, they will just laugh at you. Only a living person, quickened by the Spirit of God, can acknowledge that. If you are not quickened by the Spirit of God, you will not realize yourself a sinner going on your way to hell. It's only when the Lord Jesus Christ calls you and tells you and shows you that indeed you are a hell-bound sinner. And when you realize it's a great sight, that it's a great knowledge. No one will ever realize that without the Spirit of God quickening you to know that indeed you are to be condemned forever. That's why you don't have to wait for some kind of visions or apparitions or whatever dreams in order to draw near to Christ. The idea of know and the knowledge that you are a sinful person is enough to show you that you are being quickened, you're made alive, your eyes are made open, your hearts are now beating in the spiritual sense to know your situation, and you are called to God to serve Him. When you have this, when you realize your need of a Savior, here is the God, Christ, who calls us to show to you that indeed it's only by faith in Him, trusting in Him, believing in Him, that we can be saved and we can serve. Because you see here that when Moses turned his way to God, God called him, and the Lord now showed to him, you are in a holy ground. When you come to know that you are a sinner and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will realize that you are now being cleansed, forgiven, totally forgiven of all your sins. You are made holy. You are standing on a holy ground. Can you imagine that? A sinful person bound to hell, and when you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, now you are standing on a holy ground. You might feel, you might still sin. You know you are still in your natural ways a sinful person. But when you are a child of God, you are standing on a holy ground, that immediately after, whatever circumstances that God will take you away from this earth, you will be in the holy place. That assurance that we have. when Christ calls you, and then He will call you unto salvation, you are on a holy ground. That's why for young people, we have to be aware of this. You don't have to just go around with your friends who are doing all these evil things like pornography and whatever that they do, going out during the night, even in third world countries, what is common is this premarital, you know, this fornication and these things. You have to understand when you are called by God and you are saved by God, you are on a holy ground. Not that you are a person that is holier than thou attitude. Don't think of that. But when you are in a holy ground, you don't want to mess with sin. You don't want to engage yourself in the world, in the darkness, because you are now called by God and you are placed in His very presence, in His realm. The Holy Spirit is in you. You are a temple of God. And when Christ calls you, He makes you pure, clean, and holy. That's why when we sin, we have to confess our sins and we ask God to cleanse us and forgive us of all our sins. And then He calls us to serve Him. When we are living in a holy life, He wants us to fulfill His task. We need not to deliver millions of people out of a place. We don't want to be like Moses, leading people to cross whatever the Red Sea or whatever sea. Just need to tell others about Christ. That's the call of Christ. The Christ who calls and commissions people in the New Testament to go and teach and preach and baptize and continue on teaching is the same Christ who calls Moses to deliver the people out of Egypt. And we know this is a spiritual bondage. When you talk of Egypt, it is of darkness, it is the world, it is of sin. And when we deliver people out of it, we can only do that when we share to them the gospel. Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Give them a tract. You always have your tract with you. Thank God that before coming here, I was one, was waiting there, and I recognized this, you know, the Filipina, and I talked, and I had the time to share the word of God. Give a tract. This is the call that we have. When Christ calls, He will do a great sight, a great experience that we have. And that, of course, is not just something that we feel. There is always the word with it as He calls us. And then when He calls us, remember that He is calling us. And when we respond to His call, He says, you are in the holy ground. You cannot say, I'm called by God or I'm saved and then stay in an unholy ground. You have to be, God says you are in a holy ground and you have to fulfill the task that He had. When God showed to me that I am such an evil and wicked man, I thought before becoming a Christian, I thought that I was a pretty good Christian. But I thank the Lord for showing to me that indeed I am such a wicked person. My hope of entering into heaven is not by the church or not by the works that I have done. The Lord showed it to me. It was a great sight. It's like scales that blinded me, that was taken off by my eyes. I was so blinded that I thought I'm already leading or walking towards my path to heaven. Anybody would ask me if I was a Roman Catholic yet at that time, anybody would ask me if I, where I'm going, if I would die that very moment, I would always say, I'm going to heaven. I trusted what I have done. I trusted in my church. I have trusted in the ceremonies and sacraments that I have done in the church. But when God took off that scales from my eyes, it was a great sight. And what was that sight? It was the sight that I was actually heading for hell and not to heaven. It was a sight that I understand that I don't have any hope in trusting the church or trusting my works. It was a sight that showed me I cannot do it by my own to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It is only by the work of Christ. It is Christ's call. It is Christ calling us. And it's a great sight when he shows us how sinful, how depraved we are. And then we desire now to live a holy life. You're not called if you still want to live in an unholy place or an unholy kind of situation where you still want to go back to like a pig. I don't know if you are familiar with pigs, but if you go to third world countries, even if you buy here in Singapore a very expensive shampoo and you shampoo the pig immediately after bathe, you release the pig, it will always look for some mud to wallow. That's what they like, pigs. But one who is called, desire, and is informed and told, you are in a holy ground. Responding to God's call is realizing that you are now in a holy ground. You are washed, you are cleansed, you are justified. We may sin, yes, that's true. But we are convicted of our sins and we come to God to confess of our sins. And that's the next step here. When we have that great sight, I realize I'm a sinner. I need God to cleanse me and that I have to separate. It took me several months, in fact, more than a year, to separate from the Roman Catholic Church. Because I've been there for the rest of, from birth to, and I was saved 30 years old, when I was 30 years old already. I was in that time, I just got married, and my wife was pregnant, and so it was difficult for me to eject myself from the church because my wife was so devoted to the Roman Catholic Church also, and she was pregnant. Sometimes I compromised to go to the Roman Catholic Church to be with her. She was pregnant with our first baby. But the time has, when the Lord convicted me, I have to come out. I have to make a decision. And then God calls me out. And when God called me out of the Roman Catholic Church, the Lord also placed upon me that burden, that task to follow Him, to serve Him, to give my life to Him. Shamefully, that took also around maybe 5 years because, you know, hard-headed, I saw my family, I cannot really leave my job. How can I feed them? How can I provide them education if I will quit my job and serve full-time? That was the one that troubled me. But I thank the Lord, when He calls, He will just cause us, just like this great sight, it is an irresistible call. You might delay and delay and delay, but God will really cause you to follow. When you follow the Lord, thank God for it because He will do great and marvelous things in your life. May not be marvelous in the sight of men, but is great and marvelous in His sight. My dear young people, I believe some of you have this call. I'm not a prophet. I'm not seeing here one who has the burning bush in your heart. But I trust that the Lord is calling some of you, even maybe one of you here. Don't try to escape. Don't try to hide. The more you hide, the more the Lord will run after you and cause you to follow Him. When Christ calls, because He is God, who is the Lord of all, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, is the God of the creation, is the God also condescended to us and becoming man in order to be our representative on the cross, to pay the penalty of our sins. And this is the God who calls you, the God who created you, the God who arranged everything so that there be a Messiah, and that Messiah Himself came down so that He will save us. He's the great God who calls us. You may say no to your acquaintances. You may even plug your ears with your earpods when your parents will call you. You can escape from the national service if you will change your citizenship. But when God calls you, you can never escape. He's a great God, Christ, who from the beginning is the angel, the messenger of the Lord, and He Himself is the Lord God, the Jehovah God, the covenant-keeping God, revealed Himself as the God of Abraham and Jacob, Isaac and Jacob, and the God who came down into this earth to become man and to suffer and to give His life for us so that we can be saved. And He was resurrected and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, and He promised to come again. This is the Christ who calls every one of us unto salvation, even unto service. But there are also some of you, I believe, whom God calls for such a special service. Please don't say no. And you cannot say no, by the way. You can just delay. But the time is fast running out. We are now at the brink of, I don't want to scare you, but maybe Deacon Emerson knew more. Just my perception, just because of my reading of news. We're now in the brink of a third world war. Now, probably now it's economic. But that's what we are heading. This trouble, this war, this international chaos, not only disasters, whatever diseases, but even military. And why wait for such a time that you have just a few years or a few months to serve? Now that we have time to serve and offer ourselves to the Lord, to do His work, it's the highest time, the best time that we can give to Him. Remember, it is Christ who called. Who is Christ? He is the one who created the world. Without Him, nothing was made. He is the one who has given us this, even in the Old Testament, made everything for us and did everything for our salvation. He's the one who calls us, who calls you. And I pray the Lord will also open your eyes to see that great sight and to hear that great summon of holiness and to do that gigantic task that He has for you to fulfill. And remember, it's all for the glory of God. May the Lord impress upon us, it is Christ who calls. And if Christ is calling me, who am I to say no? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that thou art our God who is assigning, appointing our sovereign Lord who does things according to your perfect will. We pray, Father, that you will impress upon our hearts that we all are called to be saved and to serve. But there are also some who are called for a specific task that you want to perform. We pray, Lord, that you will move the hearts of those whom thou hast assigned to not delay. We are in the tail end of the last days. We need more laborers for thee. We need workers. We need people who will share thy word. We need people who will serve thee in many other things in task in the church. And we pray, Lord, that you will, by thy Spirit, cause them to respond to you. Behold, here am I, Lord. And even say, send me. So, Father, we pray that you will speak to us, be with us always, grant the young people the desire to serve thee for the great work that thou hast done in their lives, even in their salvation. We pray and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.